When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Hi, welcome to the show. This is John Paler of The Bipolar Battle, and I have with me today Jim Lang, who's a CPA and attorney, and he's the author of 10 best-selling financial books that help IRA and retirement plan owners get the most of what they've got. The Wall Street Journal has endorsed Jim's tax and estate planning strategies 36 times. Jim, take it away. I want to hear from you. This show is about you today.
Well, thank you, John. And I would say that the show is about your audience today. But why don't I just do a real quick how I got into this. You told me about your audience, and then I'm going to want to address some things that I think are directly pertinent to your audience. And literally, my goal today is to change lives, to take people who have certain problems, not that all of a sudden they're going to be doing, you know, jumping jacks and they're going to be totally delighted with all variations of their life, but hopefully their financial life could potentially be much better because of the information they got today. So I am a CPA and an estate attorney, and I've been doing it for 35 years. And for most of the years, my specialty, if you were people who had IRAs and retirement plans. And I didn't have any particular affinity or interest in parents with a child with a disability. It didn't come up a lot in my practice. And very frankly, since I always thought it was a specialty area, I would often refer that work away. Then my daughter developed dysautonomia, which is a malfunction of the autonomic nervous system, and it effectively makes her unable to work. Despite her best efforts, and she's a very sweet girl, she's now 29, I realized that she would never, unless there's a major change, a reversal of her condition, that she's never going to be able to provide for herself. So here I am, you know, an aging financial professional married with one daughter, and to at the risk of, saying too much, let's just assume for discussion's sake that there's enough money for me, my wife, and our daughter for my and my wife's life. Well, my daughter's 29, I'm 67. Even if my wife and I have a normal life expectancy till 80 or 85 or whatever you think the normal life expectancy is, our daughter, in the nature of her condition, doesn't necessarily reduce her life expectancy. She could live another 40 years. So the biggest worry that my wife and I have had, we've had it for years, is what's going to happen to our daughter after we die. So luckily, my background was just perfect to answer that question. And we came up with a plan for her. And of course, every situation is different, but virtually all the situations that I've come into have three common areas. So I wanted to tell the world about this. And by the way, most of these things are not at the expense of a parent or a child. It's at the expense of the Social Security Administration and the expense of the IRS. So I don't consider myself a bad guy by shifting some resources from those organizations to the individuals or a trust for the individuals. So I put together this information. My expertise is mainly financial. Even though I'm going to talk about SSI and SSDI today, I'm not the top expert in the country. There's a woman named Debbie McFadden. who used to be Commissioner of Disabilities. She had 400 attorneys working for her. She was instrumental in getting H.W. Bush to sign the Disabilities Act of 1990. I got her to be one of the co-authors. I got Julia Steinbacher. Julia is phenomenal at actually drafting wills, trust, beneficiary forms for parents of a child with a disability. So Debbie wrote about what she knows best, qualifying for SSI and SSDI. Julie wrote about what she knows best, which is estate planning and what the wills and trusts and beneficiary designation should look like. And I wrote, and I have at least measured in pages, by far the most material in here about what I know best about financial. You mentioned ABLE accounts before we started, which is a form of a tax-free investment. And I want to expand that to Roth IRAs and maybe even more for the parents. So those are kind of the three elements. They're all covered in the book. By the way, we'll repeat the offer, but I would be delighted to send your audience this book for free. We also have a summit coming up with a variety of speakers talking about a variety of different types of disability, as well as the three authors and our celebrity speaker, Tatiana McFadden, the people who are into sports, and particularly Paralympic sports. You know, she's like a goddess. She's just, you know, one of the best known Paralympic, and she's speaking. So anyway, we have this cool summit. We'll give you the website coming up. But what I wanted to get to is you told me that you have a lot of listeners who are relatively young and have bipolar, and I assume that there is some spectrum. It's not just you either have it or you don't have it, that some people are doing okay and some people not so okay. Is that fair? Right.
Yeah, okay. That's totally fair. Yep.
Okay. So let's assume for discussion's sake that you're either a parent or you yourself have bipolar condition, and you want to say, okay, Jim, if there's one thing that you're telling me that I should do, get to the other stuff later, Jim. One thing, what is the most important thing for you, either you on your own or with your parents' help, to do? The most important thing is to qualify for SSI or SSDI. They are both government programs. They have lots of benefits. The person who has the greatest expertise, Debbie McFadden, calls getting approved for either of them the golden ticket. Because yes, you're not only going to get X thousands of dollars every month, that might not be the biggest benefit. In fact, it probably isn't. You're also going to qualify for Medicare. You're also going to qualify for other state programs. Depending on the nature of your disability, you might qualify for special equipment. You might qualify for a certain tuition. You might qualify for a bunch of things that I don't even know about. Okay. And this is what I would say. And let me tell you a problem that I have encountered in practice. And I don't know how to say it nicely. But a lot of people, and specifically with bipolar, specifically on the autism spectrum and other types of problems, want to think the best. I'm going to get over this. I'm going to be functional. I'm going to be able to get a job someday. I don't need the government benefit. All right. I'm going to do this on my own. And to that, I say, put your ego somewhere else. You have a long road to hoe. That's just the way it is. And if you have living parents, you are their biggest worry, just like my daughter is my biggest worry. This is not the time to be proud. And even when you apply, you don't want to tell the Social Security Administration about all the wonderful things you can do. You want to tell them about all your problems and the things that you can't do. Debbie McFadden's daughter had no legs, but she was the fastest wheelchair champion in the world. Do you think she put that down? No. She said, I don't have the use of my legs. I can't even go up a flight of steps. her sister, Hannah McFadden, world champion rock climber, above the knee amputee. I guarantee you that that woman could hop up a flight of steps faster than I could run up. Do we put that down? No, we say she cannot go up a flight of steps the way a regular person goes up and down. So you don't want to tell everybody about all the things you can do. You want to tell them all the things that you can't do. So this isn't going to help your ego, but here's the thing. And if I change one person's mind on this, that would be so worthwhile. This is not the time to be proud. You have a tough road to hoe. All right. John shared with me that he has a disability and he has certain financial struggles. He doesn't want to say, oh boy, someday I'll be good. I don't want the government benefit. I want to be independent. No, he's thinking, oh my God, I have these problems. How am I going to provide for my own retirement? And then to add to the fun, I'm married and I have a child. No, you want, and I will say deserve, although maybe I'll get some political arguments about that, the benefits that the government has allowed for people who qualify. So you don't want to determine for yourself if you qualify, and you don't want to knock yourself out. You want to do everything you can as an advocate, whether you do it on your own, which, by the way, is not easy, or whether you hire an advocate. You want to do everything you can, and depending, and I don't want to get too far into the technicalities of the programs of qualifying for either SSI or SSDI. There's all types of benefits, and here is one of the advantages that I found. So before I did all this work for our daughter, which included getting her qualified for SSDI, including getting her estate plan right, including the financial plan right, my wife and I worried. After it's done, it's not like we don't worry, but we don't worry about the money anymore. We worry more about, you know, is she going to take her pills? You know, where is she going to live? All that kind of thing. But we're not worried about the money. But before that, we were really worried about the money. And right. Then I talked to my daughter. She was worried about the money. I didn't even think about that, but she's a smart girl and she's 29 years old. And she was thinking, well, mom and dad probably have enough that will be okay when they're both around, but I'm likely to survive them by 30, 40, 50 years. What then? Am I going to be stuck with just a small government benefit? No, because of our planning. Forgetting government benefits, she'll be $1.9 million better off compared to running out of money. And basically, and it's not life insurance and it's not some whiz-bang investment, it's a shift over the rest of our lives and the rest of her life from the IRS to her. And if I can accomplish some of that with some of you, that's great. The starting point is qualifying for SSI or SSDI. SSI is basically a poverty program. So you can't have many resources. And for people under 18, they typically will include a parent's income and assets. So if your parents have some money, you're probably not going to qualify for SSI or SSDI. You could qualify for other benefits, but probably until you're 18. Then from 18 on, then you can, and even if your parents make some money, that's going to be okay. But that is step number one. I can't tell you how important that is. And let me tell you one of the most frustrating things for dealing with parents, because I'm typically dealing with parents. I'm not dealing directly with the person who has bipolar or autism or whatever it is. And I'm thinking about one specific situation. My son says he's fine. He will not participate at all in getting qualified for SSI or SSDI. So here's this good parent who's trying to provide for his kid for the rest of his life. And it's by far the biggest worry in this man's life, and it will be for the rest of his life. And his kid is not only not helping getting qualified, but refuses to participate, won't sign anything, won't do anything because he's proud. It's driving him nuts. It's driving me nuts. And if you're sitting there thinking, oh my goodness, that's you, put your pride on somewhere else. And by the way, if you get better and you can get a job and you theoretically you wouldn't even qualify to continue these benefits, great. But, you know, do everything you can to get every government benefit you can, because I don't mean to sound like a dad, which I am, but you have a long road to hoe and you need every government benefit that you can get. And I know there's a zillion programs out there, you know, for different needs, and that they help you with your confidence and your personality and your condition and blah, 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 blah. And I'm not saying any of that isn't important, but get as much money as you can from the government.
No, that sounds completely reasonable, Jim. You know, it's interesting you were talking about, there were two things I wanted to touch on real quick. When you were talking about getting disability, what I found that you can still work part-time and you can make a small amount of money each month. It depends on, I know it switches from year to year, but like right now, I think it's the cap is $1,200 a month or $1,300 a month. And that's like part time, if you can even do that.
Well,
for me, I can't even do that right now. So
well, and you also have to distinguish between SSI, which is a poverty program, and SSDI, which is a benefits program. So what you're referring to is SSDI. More commonly, and particularly for people who have never worked, or their parents are too young to receive Social Security, they're going to be on SSI.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
Okay. And with if you're on SSI, which is essentially a poverty program, you might even have to get rid of some of your assets or else you won't qualify.
Okay. Gotcha.
You know, so whether it's putting money into your parents' accounts or even establishing a special needs trust and funding it now, I want that government benefit. I really do.
Yep.
I want you getting it. I want you to get the insurance benefit. I want you to get the state benefits. I want you to get the estate planning benefits that we'll talk about later when your parents die. I want to make your life as easy as possible. And it's a lot easier, you know, having some money than not having some money.
No, that's, I totally agree. Well, my second thing I wanted to touch on real fast too is you mentioned about applying for SSDI or SSI and getting an advocate. Where, for those listening, where could they find an advocate to help them go through this process? Because
well,
I know it's so overwhelming.
it is an overwhelming process. And very frankly, if I had left it to our daughter, it would have never happened. She would have just been totally overwhelmed and we wouldn't have even come close. Her mom, who's a very, very bright, very organized woman, probably has 1,000 hours of work into this process. All right. Because we need letters from doctors. And I'm not going to, this isn't my area of expertise. It is in this book, though, by the way. But we need doctors who have worked with the person who has whatever condition. We need letters from them. The doctors need coached. We have to tell the doctors, put in what they can't do, not what they can do. And teachers and friends and caregivers. So this is not an easy process. And probably there's an 80-some percent rejection. So if you're not terribly organized and you're going to make this a do-it-yourself project, it's tough. This is what I would say. And again, this is not the time to be proud. If your parents have some organization skills and or money that they can hire an appropriate attorney, I'll give you the name of one, that would be, I would think, the way to go. Now, some people like to pack their own parachute, and I am not one of those people. And it sounds like I'm pushing, you know, professional services. And I will just tell you that I don't think there's a better way to spend money than to talk with a true expert in the field. I don't know what her availability is, very frankly, because we're getting some good press with this book, and she's only a one-woman show, but the co-author of the book, Debbie McFadden, is a wonderful resource. And this is what I would tell you. If you try to contact her, don't be pushy, don't be aggravating, don't call her at night, don't do anything that would piss off a professional, because she's going to have so much work, she can just say, I don't need this crap, and then you're toast. You're not going to get a second chance. Frankly, she would probably prefer if she dealt with your parents. Well, no, I want to be there. Well, she has limited time and energy, and she's probably more interested in a more business-like conversation, which objectively your parents can do. Just instinctively, you're going to want to talk about all the things that you can do. And then she's going to say, no, you can't do that. And you're going to want to argue with her. But anyway, she and there's other people that do this work. You don't have to be licensed to be an attorney. Most of the people that do the work are attorneys. If you did go that way, I would go to somebody who specializes in that area, because okay. I want somebody who's battle tested and who has been through it and knows the processes, and the amount that they charge you, you're going to say, well, that sounds like a lot of money. And, well, gee, the benefits for me, it's not for them. And I get it. But, unless there's a reversal in which case you will not qualify in the future, which frankly is my hope as a person, it's very well money well spent. There's a very good chance you're going to get rejected anyway. Many of you have already applied and been rejected. There is an appeals process. Most of those people lose too. But the difference between getting that qualified, so in my daughter's case, she's going to be 1.9 million. If I miss step one, there's the things I do for her will help anybody. But let's say the real benefit is that when my wife and I die, assuming she still qualifies, it can be measured in well over $1 million. And even if your parents have more modest means, even if they have a $500,000 IRA, I'm talking to the parent, your child on a $500,000 IRA, if they take these steps, this is assuming that you've qualified for SSI and SSDI, can be $289,000 better off. So, John, wow. Do you think that you would be happier with your existing financial situation with zero or $289,000?
That's a hard one, Jim. too funny. Right.
So that's number one. Should we talk more about that, or should we move on?
No, we can talk more about that for sure.
Okay. Well, I'm not the expert. And by the way, I don't offer this service. Debbie McFadden does. I will tell you, I know Debbie. I trust her. I like her. I told her that she doesn't charge enough for the value that she provides. I'll also tell you that if she isn't already, she's just going to be crushed with work. And even if she manages to expand, that means that her people are going to be doing the work, not her. And I don't care how good of a teacher she is, you're never going to get somebody as good as Debbie. Right now, she's still doing the work. But I better watch my language, but you want to kiss her butt, because people with bipolar or, let's say, some type of mental illness are inherently more difficult for her than, say, dealing with a wealthy parent whose kid has MS, for example. So you're not the ideal client, and you don't want to call her at night. You don't want to call her personal number. You want to think she is a professional. She has a fantastic service at a more than fair price. I'm going to treat her that way, because if you don't, I had a client who was with my top guy. And he complained about the price. Well, we shifted him to my not top guy. And then he was talking with me later on, and he said, well, he said, I really liked your top guy. And now you gave me this other guy. And I said, yeah, you shouldn't have complained about price. And then he wanted a whole plan for his kid with a disability. And I'm talking about a $15,000 or $20,000 engagement. And he said, who's the best guy to do it? And I said, well, the guy that you complained about the price, and I don't know if he'll take you back or not. And he says, oh, please, please tell him I'm sorry. Tell him I'm sorry. Yeah. Debbie's not trying to rip off anybody. She's one of the most moral, decent people I know. She more than any one person in the world is responsible for the Disability Act of 1990 that provides enormous benefit for the disability community. And she's still around and she's still working. And you almost have to sell her to take you.
To work with, yeah.
And I mean that too. And she, by the way, she doesn't do appeals. So if you lose, you have to go to somebody else.
Gotcha. Well, you know, I was just going to, just as a side note here, Jim, with my experience with SSDI, what you said about getting organized and getting all the paperwork together. When I first applied, I had an amazing psychiatrist. And she actually sat down with me and she helped me organize the paperwork. Like, I brought all the paperwork and she wrote so just this long, long letter. And actually,
it wasn't how wonderful you were, was it? It was about all your problems.
It was me being hospitalized.
This guy's really screwed up.
Yeah,
he has problems.
Like, exactly. Like, he can't stay in school. He's withdrawn from school, you know, six times. He can't function, that sort of thing. And interesting, because I do know that the appeals, you know, the rejection rate is so high and having to appeal it. But she did such a wonderful job with me. Within 6 months, they approved me and I started getting my checks, and the insurance was huge for me.
Yes.
The Medicare. And that just, so I understand the whole process and being organized. It's so true. Cause I've seen, you know, I advocate online with the bipolar battle, and I've met thousands and thousands of people with bipolar disorder. And I met people who've tried to apply, and being unorganized just does not help your cause.
Yeah. If you were organized, you could write a book, How to Get Qualified for SSI with Bipolar Condition.
Yeah.
But you're not organized enough, so that would be somebody else to do that.
Yeah, exactly.
Actually, your psychiatrist friend, that book would be very, very valuable if people would follow it. But that's part of what an advocate does. Now, your psychiatrist actually was a gem. Most psychiatrists would not know enough to know what your psychiatrist did. And the last thing that you, as the subject and the applicant, want to do is tie their hands. No, you want to help them. And, you know, when you were reading your own report, you might say, this dude's really screwed. Oh, that's me. But you were smart enough to shut up and let her put down all the bad things and not put down all the good things, because you wanted to get the benefit.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
I can't tell you how important that is, because my one client would kill for his son to participate in the process.
Yeah.
And he's too bright that you couldn't pull it off without him knowing.
Oh, yeah.
So what he's going to end up doing is, he's going to do right now, he's in the best process of providing for his son the best he can. But that's like having a sword battle with both hands tied behind your back.
Right. Yeah. It sounds like it. Well, let's see. What was I? I think this is great information for everybody listening. I think that I've never spoken about any of these topics on my podcast. And so I think this is so beneficial for everybody to hear from you, who's, I know you said you're not an expert with SSDI, but you have enough experience to know what it's like and how to deal with it.
Well, the other thing is, let's say that you're one of these people, and say, I'd rather have a root canal than pay one of those dang attorneys. Well, if you have to be a do-it-yourselfer, you can get this book for free. All right. Go to disabledchildplanning.com/podcast. Again, disabledchildplanning.com/podcast, and fill out the form. And I think, I can't remember if we're doing, if we have enough hard copies left, we start running short, but at a minimum, you'll get a digital version, and the table of contents is 16 pages alone. So don't be overwhelmed. Don't try to read it cover to cover. Go to the table of contents, read the section that is applicable to you. The one exception is if you have enormous sleep problems, then try to read it cover to cover.
Cover to cover. Yeah, that's great. Good advice then. Well, is that on Amazon or where else is it is on Amazon? Okay.
Yeah, you can get it on Amazon for a couple bucks. I think it's $2 for the digital version. The list price, I think, is $24.95 for the hard copy version. If you're a parent and you're older like me and you prefer hard copy, the return on your investment of $24.95 for a hard copy, and you, maybe they can even get it less, is going to be like 1,000 to 1. You know, you don't even think about this. And it sounds like I'm selling my book. And to be honest, if my income is this, my book sale is even lower. And I literally have hundreds of thousands of dollars into this. If I get $500 in royalties, I'd be surprised. So I am not here to push books. I'm here to push information. And if you're a parent and you're like me, your biggest worry in life is what's going to happen to my kid, not only now, but after I die. And the reduction in worry for both you and your child is going to be enormous. I mean, John, you can, you know, when you got that letter saying that you qualified, that was Miller time.
Uh-huh.
Is that fair?
Oh, that's completely fair, Jim. Yeah.
And you probably didn't even know about all the benefits that you have. And when we get into it, there's additional, if your parents have a couple bucks and they get this set up, and we'll get into that when we're ready to switch topics, the difference to you, like my daughter, is zero versus 1.9 million.
That's awesome. That's just amazing. That floors me. I definitely want to dive into that.
So, and the other group that kind of planning would involve would be a grandparent also.
Grandparent. Okay. Yeah.
No, because even as a parent, you know, you worry about your kids, but then when your kids have kids, guess what? You have a new set of worries.
Right.
And if you have you know, I've been an estate attorney for 35 years. And if somebody has 3 kids in perfect health and 8 kids in, or 8 grandkids and 1 kid in perfect health and 1 kid who has some condition, bipolar, autistic, whatever it is, guess where we spend the most time? On the one kid.
Mm-hmm. No, that makes sense to me. That totally does that.
And be gentle with your parents, because it isn't easy. You know, my daughter is as sweet as she can be, but I'll just say that parents like us, you know, I probably could have retired a couple years ago, and notwithstanding all the savings that we're going to make for her, when it comes down to it, dying with more money is a good way to do it. And mm-hmm. one of the ways you die with more money is you work longer and you save more. And we've done a lot. So I'll just say that your parents are worried, and they've made major sacrifices themselves. And it would be good if you treated your parents like that. And if you have a tiff with them, figure out a way, just tell them you're wrong, even if you don't think you are, and just get back in their good graces. Because, and you, this is very, very tough to do on your own. And I'll also tell you, that I work with parents who have problems with their kids, and that is their biggest issue in life, even more than the money. That they have that riff with their kids. And for my purposes, I don't care whose fault it is. That might be the biggest thing. I'm thinking of one individual who, in a way, he should have had the ideal life. He was in good health. He had a lot of money. He was married. He had three kids. He had two wonderful relationships with two of his kids. And one of the kids wouldn't talk to him. He wanted me to try to broker it.
Oh, yeah.
This was the misery of this one guy. Mm-hmm. And it weighs harder on him than it does on you, although I don't even know what the impact of it is on you. And I know I sound like a dad because I am a dad.
You're a dad, yeah.
Luckily, my daughter's really sweet, but mm-hmm. it's not like she's, you know, she doesn't say, oh, maybe she does occasionally, but she doesn't come out and say, oh, you know, I know you're doing so much for me. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You know, instead, she's pretty funny and pretty sarcastic. And I'm usually the butt of her sarcasm, but that's, but that's okay. But my point is your parents, even if they act a little pissy or they do this or that, most likely they are in your corner wanting your best, the best for you.
I know my parent, my dad is, and my stepmom, they're definitely in my corner, always rooting. Like we had mentioned before, Jim, about before we were speaking, that my parents were trying to coordinate all this because they weren't really sure. They have a trust, and then they were trying to figure out, they had mentioned a special needs trust before, but they weren't sure how to combine it with their own trust. So I mean, maybe that's what we could talk about, how you set it up for your daughter, and if that's what you want to touch on next, whatever you want to do. I just want to hear from you.
This is the perfect transition part of what I'll call the dying part. Okay. Now, I'm probably not talking about John's will, although, John, I know that as a parent, you have a will, and that will has guardianship provisions. I don't care if you don't have a nickel. If you have a kid, I don't want the state of wherever you're, I don't even know where you're a resident. I don't want some judge in the in that state to decide where your kids go if something happens to you and your wife. I want you to make that decision. So, and this isn't about money. Okay.
Right.
Everybody needs a will. But let's talk specifically about, let's say, your parents' will. Okay. And I'm not going to get into the two marriage, the stepmom and natural mom. In your case, your mom, and she's still alive?
She is, yes.
All right. You're still, whatever you guys are, she needs, as at least part, or if not completely, a special needs trust naming you, or this trust is the beneficiary. So here's the deal. If your child already has qualified for SSI or SSDI, there is a presumption that that situation will continue, although there are, let's say, audits, and there will be, let's say, some additional proof needed down the road, which is much, much easier burden than getting approved initially. But anyway, what you want in that situation, first of all, you never want to leave money to a child that has a disability and is receiving government benefits. First, you don't want to leave it to the kid, because a lot of kids, Jonathan seems like a responsible guy, but maybe he has a condition where he goes on a bender and does something stupid that screws up his whole finances for life. I hate to say it, and you seem perfectly fine, John, but if I was your, even forgetting government benefits, I leave the money to you in a trust to make sure that you don't screw it up, to make sure that you don't get divorced and your wife walks away with money to do what I think is appropriate. But more importantly, or at least more directly for this point, I don't want to screw up your government benefit. Mm-hmm. All right. If I leave it to you, or even if I leave it to a standard trust, standard creditors trust, health, maintenance, support, whatever it is, that does not protect your government benefit. And the government can come in and say, hey, look, you have all this money. No, I don't. I'm just a beneficiary. No, the terms of this trust make it porous enough that we're going to consider it your money. We're not only going to cut off your benefits, but here's the bill for the benefits that we already gave you.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And they do it. So you don't want to do that. So if I was going to be advising either your mom or your dad, I would say any money that you had in mind for John should go into a special needs trust. And that trust has certain provisions. It's not as good as the first type of trust, the general protection trust, because we have to put up more barriers to say, well, it's not really John's money, because if it was John's money, then he doesn't get the benefit, or worse, we're going to take the benefit back. So it's not as good as the first type, but it will protect the benefit. All right.
Gotcha. Okay.
And that trust is so mission critical. If the underlying asset is an IRA, which is typically the biggest asset, unless you're a Silver Spoon kid, the biggest asset that your parents or you, if you're the parent, likely has is an IRA, a 401k, a 403b. These are all retirement plans that have not yet been subject to income tax. If your child qualifies as what's called an EDB, an eligible designated beneficiary, and the way you get that is by qualifying for SSI and SSDI, now the IRS, this is pretty recent, the IRS says we will take Social Security's word for your disability if you qualify for SSI and SSDI, which is another huge thing for getting this approval, then we're not going to make... Let's use you as an example, John. Let's say your dad dies and he has a $1 million IRA and he leaves it in this trust. That trust has to have five specific conditions in order to qualify for the treatment that I want. In addition, it has to have the conditions that are enough that John can get some benefits, but it can't be a pure see-through to John. So it has to be drafted just right. But if it is, then John can take that money out over his entire life.
Yeah.
Where otherwise, if you don't get that designation, he has to take it all out in 10 years. And if it's IRA money and he has to pay tax on it in the first 10 years, then a third or half of it's gone. If it's a Roth IRA, then he gets tax-free distributions for the rest of his life. This is critical, John's dad and other dads out there. That's where I come in. I'm going off on a tangent a little, because we're still talking about the dying part, and the Roth IRA conversion is more on the living part. But you want to get these estate planning documents right. Now, I've been the state attorney for 35 years. What did I do when somebody came in and said, hey, I have a child on the spectrum. I have this. Here's the problem, blah, blah, blah. I referred them out. So here I am, an expert, a state attorney, and I'm referring work out. Why? Because I wasn't a specialist. You want a specialist. So you parents, your friend who did your will 10 years ago, you can't just go to them and say, hey, can you add a special needs trust? Maybe you can, and maybe that's what a lot of you will do anyway. I would want to go to somebody who's drafted 100 of these things, and you're just, and you're going to get the benefit of their experience. And preferably they've done it long enough that people have actually died with these documents and they've been tested. And so if you live in Pennsylvania, the co-author of this book is great. That's Julia Steinbacher. If not, you're probably going to have to find somebody who is a specialist. By the way, Julia has a national, let's say, firm that she helps other attorneys practice in this area. So she has a database of attorneys. I have a database of some, but I'll just say, just as an example, she has a couple social workers working in her office. Well, what are social workers, why would they work in a law office? A lot of the problems need a social worker. They don't need a lawyer.
Yeah.
You know, where's the kid going to live? What benefit is there? How are we going to deal with insurance reimbursement? All that stuff. Well, we went to her and she was really helpful. And our daughter is living independently in Massachusetts with a lot of our help, but still basically independently. And the insurance was a nightmare. Well, she had people to help us with that. That was wonderful. Now, if I had gone to a general estate attorney, would they have that? No, no, no.
Oh, yeah.
And that's another area you don't want to pack your own parachute, you know? Yeah. And even if it's, you know, if that, and by the way, $5,000 is not out of line. And I hate to say it, but the difference between getting this right and not getting this right, depending on how much money you have, can be hundreds of thousands of dollars, more than $1 million. This is not an area to be a cheapskate. Okay.
No.
In fact, I would rather see you pay somebody to get that benefit and pay somebody to do your estate plan and not pay me, because those two are mission critical that a do-it-yourselfer probably can't handle.
Okay.
What else do we want to talk about the dying part? I'll tell you another thing for the parents. Okay. Now, let me tell you what one of the problems that a parent, even a knowledgeable parent, has. And maybe I'll even use John as an example, but a better example was maybe somebody like John 2 years before he qualified for SSDI. Okay. How old were you when you qualified, John?
I was about 20, 21.
Okay, perfect. All right. So John is now 19 years old. He has not yet qualified for SSI or SSDI. And even an educated, and by the way, a lot of estate attorneys, a lot of specialists don't know this. I'm giving you the ultra advanced, but what's really critical. So what would I do in John's parent situation? And here's what I'm looking at. Right now, he's not getting SSI or SSDI. Right now, we hope that he's going to qualify, but we don't know if he is. We know if we do that standard trust, that standard creditor protection trust, that will give more access to him. It will be a better thing for him if we know he's not going to get government benefits. So let's call that choice number one, which is, for the lack of a better term, a spendthrift trust, which protects Jonathan from himself, protects him from creditors. It protects him from his wife, who is, by the way, his most likely creditor. Not now, because things are good now, but they might not be in 10 years. Not because he's not a good guy, it's just because most, you know, half the marriages work. And I would suspect with bipolar, it's be less than half. So we have that possibility. Then, but we still are hoping he's going to qualify, but we don't know if he is or not. Or maybe he qualifies, but he's so high functioning that we are afraid he will lose that in the future. Now, if you do the special needs trust, then we are limiting what John can get from it. If we do the creditor trust, John's going to get the benefit of it, but he could potentially lose his benefits. And if benefits have already been paid after mom or dad dies, he might actually have to pay the benefit back. So what do you do? 9 out of 10 people, most estate attorneys have never heard of this. I'm even going to say the specialists might not have heard this. So here is the solution. Ready? Do we have a drum roll? Good, good one. A toggle trust. All right. So here's what a toggle trust is. It says, here's trust number one. All right, let's call this the conventional protective trust. Here's trust number two, which is specifically for people who have qualified or for SSI or SSDI. And then we decide what kind of trust we're going to implement, not today, but at mom or dad's death. Let's give two examples. John, despite his doing everything he can for himself, still has significant problems, still qualifies for SSDI. Protecting that benefit is mission critical. We are willing to give up some of the benefits that John might get from that trust to preserve the government benefit. So we would want, let's call it the special needs trust. Example number two, John makes a miraculous recovery. All of a sudden, he's doing really well. He's making a lot of money. He's not on government benefits. Doesn't look like he'll ever need a government benefit again. Well, then we go to the protective trust. But we make that decision not today when we don't really know what's going to happen. We let the trustee make that decision after we, the parent or grandparent, is gone.
Okay.
Kind of a free second look. And the difference between, again, getting that right, not getting it right, if we do a protective trust, we could lose a lot of benefits. And I already told you, I hate losing benefits. If we do the less, if we do the traditional special needs, by definition, you can't use that money for things that John might want. Now, John mentioned that the ABLE account, and the ABLE account is wonderful. But the problem with the ABLE account is you have limitations on how much money you can put in and how much money can end up in it. So, I said, well, John says, well, how can I put away some money for me? And I said, well, I wish that you could do 10 ABLE accounts, but you can't. It's just one. And that is also something. The other thing is the ABLE is much more liberal in what they will allow you to spend money on and have it come out tax-free than the special needs trust.
That all makes sense. Okay. Well, that's great
Okay.
information, Jim. That is fantastic.
All right. So I think we've covered the SSI, the SSDI. Should we go on to the third thing, which is going to be geared more towards parents and grandparents?
That sounds
Okay.
great, Jim.
All right. I know that this is your biggest worry in life. And, before I figured out the solution, my off the top of my head solution was work longer, save more, spend less, get some life insurance. All right. And those are all reasonable, but there's only so much longer you can or want to work. There's only so much less that you can afford that you're going to be happy saving. And what you really want, and it's much easier sale than, sorry, you have to work another 5 years, which I've told people, is maximize what you have. And I just want to talk about one thing. There's a whole book of different strategies, which again, this book is free. Get it and then attend the virtual workshop, the virtual summit that we're going to have. But anyway, I'll give you a preview on my part, and it's something that you're maybe familiar with, but you might not know it is so beneficial if you are a parent of a child with a disability, is Roth IRA conversions. All right, so you're taking a chunk of IRA, 401k, 403b, SEP, KEO, money that has not yet been taxed. You're paying taxes on it now, which sounds miserable, but in return, you get tax-free growth for the rest of your life, the rest of your spouse's life, and here's why it's so mission critical: the life of your child with a disability. All right. So let's use John as an example. John's dad dies. He has money either in an IRA or a Roth IRA. He leaves it in a trust for John. John, at his death, qualifies for SSI or SSDI. John can take a little bit out. If it's Roth, it'll be tax-free for the rest of his life. If he doesn't qualify or the trust doesn't qualify, he has to take it all out in 10 years. If it's IRA money, he has to take it all out, pay taxes on it at the trust rate, which is very high. he will run out of money, most likely, depending on everything else. And again, the difference for my daughter was $1.9 million. But even on a $500,000, if you can manage to convert that money to a Roth during your life, even in taking into consideration the money that you use to pay the tax on that Roth conversion, John will be $289,000 in today's dollars. In future dollars, it's probably in the millions. But in today's dollars, he'll be $289,000 better off. And we love our kids. We want to provide for our kids. We don't want to go to our grave fearing that we're going to go to our grave worried no matter what. But if we can at least take care of the financial part, that's going to significantly reduce our anxiety, which is good for us. If John knows that his mom and dad got this planning right, and they got the Roth right, and they got the will right, guess what? He feels better about his future.
Isn't that what you said about your daughter too? I had read in a note that was one of the concerns that she had was we spoke about that. Yeah, about the financial part, and it reduced her anxiety
dramatically. And it's the nature of a lot of conditions that one of the problems that comes with the condition is anxiety about the condition and anxiety in general, and the anxiety exacerbates the condition. All right, so my daughter has dysautonomia, which is a malfunction of the autonomic nervous system. Well, guess what makes it a lot worse? Stress and anxiety. What makes it a lot better? Reduction of stress and anxiety. Oh, yes. Gee, Dad took care of this. I'm not going to have financial problems even after Mom and Dad die. Wow, what a relief. And even things that you might not, and it impacts her life and her decisions now. And she's not a spendthrift. She's the opposite. I'm more of a spendthrift than she is. We were watching Shark Tank together, and they had a karaoke machine that may automatically puts you in tune, you know, like some of the popular. And I thought, boy, wouldn't that be cool? She's the one who said, Dad, you're going to buy it once, and you're going to use it once, and it's going to sit in the basement. That's exactly what happened. So she's not the spendthrift, but she is making decisions. Like, she's hungry. She doesn't have any energy. There's a bag of chips right there. She could eat that, and that's not good for her condition. Or she can call DoorDash and have, you know, one of those, you know, good quality bowls of food delivered to her house. Well, mm-hmm. She can do that, and she's not going to worry, oh, gee, that's $30. She can do that.
Gotcha.
And not to mention alternative therapists and things to make her life easy. And she doesn't drive, but her boyfriend does. And we've provided her boyfriend with a car and a lot of things that directly impact the quality of her life, because she has some money now and she doesn't have to worry about running out of money after her mom and I die. Mm-hmm. So you want to get that right. And a large part of that is the Roth IRA conversion. So my wife and I have a seven-figure Roth that we've accumulated over many, many years, and we've paid taxes to get it. But our daughter will get tax-free income from the day that we die until the day she dies.
Okay.
And the tax-free income is, you know, that and other factors, it's a difference of $1.9 million. So parents, do this. Mm-hmm. Your do-it-yourselfer, get the book, attend the summit, or maybe I'm the right guy, maybe your advisor is the right guy, maybe somebody is. It deserves time and attention. Okay, this could be the most important thing that you could do.
This is awesome information, Jim. I'm learning so much. I can't wait to share this all with my own dad. My dad, you know, just see what he has to say. So I didn't know are there some other points that you wanted to touch
on?
Yeah,
let's talk a little strategy. All right.
Oh, that sounds great.
All right. So I'm going to sound like a salesman here. Here, Dad, here's this book that I got. Some guy said it's a great book. might help. Dad, can I ask you a question? And can you be honest with me? Have you worried about me and not just my condition, but my financial future in the short run? Well, sure, I do, if I'm going to be honest. Dad, you also have significant worries about what's going to happen to me and my family after you're gone. I guarantee you it's yes. Well, Dad, I have this podcast and I have a pretty good sense of when somebody's giving us some BS, but I got this guy on. He's written 10 best-selling financial books. He's been in the Wall Street Journal for 36 different times. He is a child with a disability. He cracked the code. If I could get you that book, Dad, do you think that you might spend a little bit of time at least looking at the table of contents and reading a couple chapters that might be relevant? I think he's going to say yes.
I think he will too.
All right, so that's the way I would try to approach this. Because, and very frankly, and I know a lot of your audience is not the parents, but is actually the child with the disability, with the autism condition, or maybe on the spectrum, bipolar, whatever it is, you need to kind of sell this to your dad, and you should get, if 25 bucks is a lot, I can't remember if we're giving away the hard copies or not. The book we're exploding, by the way. We have
I
this
can
this.
imagine.
Well, this has become my mission. I'm 67 years old. I've had a very good career in financial services, as a CPA, as an attorney, as an advisor. And the truth of the matter is, most of my clients have in excess of $1 million, and I've helped them and I've helped their families. And there's nothing wrong with that. And I'm proud of the work that I've done. But let's say that I screw it up, all right? And a kid who doesn't have a disability, maybe he's gone to college, and I screwed up their estate plan or I didn't maximize it, and they end up getting $200,000 or $400,000 less. Is that a bad thing? Absolutely. But let's say instead that kid can't make a li living for themselves, will have likely to be have financial problems their whole lives, and I screw it up. That is a tragedy.
Yeah, no, I see.
So the work that I'm doing now, I'm almost getting tearful, but the work I'm doing now is the most important work of my life. And what I get on a royalty on this, it's embarrassing. I got a check, believe it or not, for 2 cents recently for royalties.
Oh,
2 cents. But one of the advantages that I've had of having a long career is I have people coming up to me, "Hey, Jim, I met you 25 years ago. I got into Roths just so, like you said, and now, I'm here instead of here." And I might not even be around by the time you're experiencing some of these benefits. But that's the most important thing in my life. So if I sound like a salesman saying, "Get this book, even if I'm giving it away, attend the conference." Boy, the conference is going to be unbelievable. We're going to have the three authors. We're going to have Tatiana McFadden, the top Paralympic champion in the world, a slew of other experts in different areas of disability. And guess what? It's free. I'm arguing with people. Ah, you should charge for it. They won't value it if it's free. They might be right. But that's not my goal. My goal is not to make money on it. So anyway, do that. Get the book. It's free. At least the digital version is. Go over the table of contents. Don't try to read it cover to cover unless you have sleep problems. Attend the virtual workshop, and you can get both of them by going to disabledchildplanning.com/podcast. And John, I'm going to ask you to maybe if you can, to put this up in letters, maybe a few times throughout the podcast, because I really want people to do that. I'm going to say 1 in 100 will end up qualifying to work with us, because being very honest with you, I'm charging in the ballpark of $15,000 or $20,000, and that might sound like a lot, but frankly, for what I do, for that is I consider a great bargain. Or have $2 million under management, so not a lot of people are going to be able to afford my services. But if you can't, then either go to somebody else. But even if you go to somebody else, do it after you've got this book. Oops, I'm going to be like Trump holding the Bible upside down. Get this book, go to the table of contents, and you're going to learn a lot. And that's frankly, that is my biggest mission right now. I just talked to somebody and I said, I want kind of the greatest return on investment, but we're not going to measure it in terms of dollars. We're going to measure it in terms of impact. And that's what, at this stage of my career, I'm most interested in, impacting the greatest number in the greatest amount.
I love that, Jim. I seriously do, because I can tell how passionate you are. And that's actually my mission with doing this podcast and all my advocacy. It's based on helping people with bipolar disorder. And I do want to mention that the Financial and Life Planning Summit for parents of a child with this of a child with a disability, it's June 18th to June 20th, and you can sign up to receive updates at disabledchildplanning.com/June, or again, Jim's book, Retire Secure for Parents of a Child with a Disability. Go to disabledchildplanning.com/podcast.
Yeah, go to /podcast, because what we've done, and this is even since I gave you that, those websites, is you can do both at once.
Oh, at the same.
It's a twofer. You can get information, and I don't know if it's there now, but it will be in a couple of days. You could both sign up for the podcast, and you can get the book with one website visit.
Okay.
All right. But again, disabledchildplanning.com/podcast.
Got it. And I'll put that in my episode notes as well, so people will be able to click on it and get directly right there to it.
Okay. And by the way, when I send this book to you, I'm going to send it to you as a PDF. You have my license to send it to whomever you think would benefit. The only thing, don't send it to more than 100,000 people. I'm being a little facetious here. But seriously, send it to people. And the instruction is, unless you have major sleep problems, don't try to read it cover to cover. It's 500 pages, and frankly, it's technical. Go to the table of contents. Even that is 16 pages. But go to the table of contents, pick out what you think is appropriate for you to read, and then even if you just read one or two chapters, and then either on your own or with help from somebody else, do something about it.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Let me tell you what would not make me happy. You read it, or you read parts of it, say, boy, was that great information. And then that's it.
And do nothing about it.
No. I've heard an interesting definition of learning. Learning is taking action, not what we think of as learning. In other words, you read it, say, great, I know doing a Roth IRA conversion is good, I'll think about it. No. Roth IRA conversion is good. I'm either going to do it right now, or at least develop a long-term plan starting right now. Even if this year I don't do it, but I do it next year, whatever it is, take action. This is life-changing information. Okay. And I want to get it out there. Nobody's better on SSI and SSDI than Debbie McFadden. Julie Steinbacher, she's at the top. This is great information. I'm an estate attorney myself, and I threw in some stuff in the estate part because I can't help myself. And then my stuff about Roth and the ABLE and saving taxes and all of that. And we try to blend it to make it, kind of seamless. So I obviously believe in it. I believe in this summit that we're doing, which has been an unbelievable amount of work on our office, but That's what I want to do. I want to get this information out there. There's a lot of people that do better listening than reading. We don't have an audio version of the book. That would really put people to sleep, but we don't have that. But we do have the summit. We had a mini summit before, and it was very successful. We got glowing reviews, and now we're expanding the scope to it's financial, but it's also other things too.
Okay. Oh, that sounds great, Jim. Let's see here. Well, I is there any other thing you want to touch on, or do you think we've pretty much covered as much as you want to?
I think we have, but here is inertia is a natural condition. Great information, I'll do it later. Maybe I'll talk to my parents about it. I'm going to see them this Christmas. For the parents, we haven't figured out who the trustee is going to be. After we do that, then we'll go to the attorney. I've been doing this estate planning for 35 years. And here's my general advice for estate planning, the ABLE Act, the Roth IRA conversions, qualifying for SSI, qualifying for SSDI. Get it done. If you need to do a better job, do it later. Now, qualifying for SSI and SSDI, that's something you want to do right the first time. But a will, you can always, or a trust, you can always do codicils and amendments with Roth conversions. You probably want to start. You can do more in subsequent years. But I can't tell you how many times I have come up with recommendations for clients, and they've kind of said, well, I'll get around to it. And sometimes they do, and it's not as effective because it should have been done earlier, or they don't. And you can have a huge difference. And remember, the difference between leaving money or getting your estate planning right for a child who can go out and earn their own career, and they can be just fine. If you screw it up, I'm not saying that that's good. In fact, don't do that. But it's not tragic. If you have a kid with a disability and you screw this up, either you don't get the kid qualified for SSI or SSDI, you don't get the estate planning right, you don't get the Roth right, whatever it might be, and the kid ends up a couple hundred thousand dollars or $1 million less well off over their lifetime, even if it's long after you're dead, that is tragic. Get this done. Do it.
Oh,
That
that sounds.
is my advice to you. This is not one of those things that it's good to put off. It's terrible to put off. We all, we never know what's going to happen to us. Most of us drive cars. If we don't drive, we're passengers in cars. Things happen. Get this done. And it's not just a long-term benefit that you don't see. The reduction in anxiety is going to be your immediate reward for
Yeah.
both you and your child.
That's huge. That's huge.
Yeah.
Yes.
You think I've laid it on thick enough?
I think you have, Jim. And so the last part is, okay, after all this, after listening to Jim and going through all this information, the take home is let's take action now. Take this information and do something about it. Don't wait. Okay. Well, thanks again, Jim, for joining me and giving my listeners and myself all this great advice. I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you. And thank you, John, for everything that you're doing. I know that you don't make money on this podcast. In fact, it's a major use of your time when you could be doing something else to either make money or spend time with your family or to do whatever you could be doing, but you've chosen to do this. And if you're like me, and I sense that you are, it is a true pleasure to do this, even if it's work, and you have that wonderful, let's say, advantage or currency that isn't measured in money, but it's measured in impact.
Exactly. Oh,
So
wow. Thank you, Jim. Thanks.
thank
That
you
means
for
a
what
lot
you're
to me.
doing.
Okay.
DisabledChildPlanning.com/podcast.
Podcast. Yeah, slash podcast, everybody. Remember that part. Okay.
Thank you, then.
Thank you.